Welcome to How to Study in Germany, the podcast that guides international students through the exciting journey of studying abroad. From navigating student life to overcoming challenges, we are here to help make your experience in Germany unforgettable. Tune in for real stories, valuable insights, and everything you need to thrive as an international student.
Hi, my name is Shreya Modgil. I am originally from India, but I grew up my whole life in different countries in Africa, mainly Rwanda. And I am here in Leofana studying economics with a minor in comparative economic law in my fifth semester.
Hi.
Quick blitz. Mm-hmm. Daydreaming or deep conversations?
Oh, daydreaming.
Cats or axolotls?
Oh, cats.
Okay. Mountains or beaches?
Beaches.
Painting or reading?
Oh, painting.
Germany or any other country you have lived in?
Any other country I have lived in.
Winter or summer?
Summer.
Morning person or night owl?
Night owl.
Small talk or meaningful debates?
Meaningful debates.
Spontaneous adventures or well-planned trips?
Maybe spontaneous adventures.
What is the one word that best describes you?
Pessimistic.
Okay, but you said instead of Germany, you would choose any other country you've lived on. But in the message where you explained about yourself more, you told me that you fall in love with Germany. What changed that much?
Okay, well, my German journey started like 7 years ago when I came here on a random school trip. That was in the south of Germany in a little cute town called Schwäbisch Hall. And it's like a really nice town. And I fell in love with it because it's so cute, so nice. People in the south are also nicer. There's a German stereotype like that. And yeah, I think it was my first adventure abroad, you know, all by myself. So that's why Germany always has a special place in my heart. But now that I'm part of, you know, this university system and I have to deal with all the bureaucracy and paperwork and this and that. Yeah, it gets exhausting. Also, don't get me started on the winter depression. That's a whole other topic. So I like my sun. I don't like the paperwork. And every other country I've lived in, it's been with sun and without the paperwork. So that's why.
Yeah, paperwork is the pain in the pitch. In Germany. Okay. You told that you have lived in multiple countries. Can you tell where exactly and how did it shape you?
All right. Well, I've grown up in multiple countries, like in Africa, for example, and I can talk about that in more detail. The two main countries are South Africa and Rwanda. And growing up in these African communities, it was always very international. The schooling I've always got is very international. So I was always surrounded with people of different backgrounds. Yes, that meant that sometimes I was faced with ideologies or ideas that I didn't necessarily like or understand, especially as a child. Mm-hmm. But I think that is the reason why now I am more open-minded and mm-hmm. I make friends really easy in comparison to like other people around me. Being forced to grow up in countries where you don't speak the language of at home meant that I am able to pick up languages really, really fast. Now. So that really helps me. Like, even if I plan on traveling to a random country, I will prepare myself by learning the language a little bit. And it's super easy for me. It has made me more tolerant to people around me and has allowed me to like really reflect on myself as a person. So I'm happy that I grew up the way that I did.
Did you move a lot because of the job of your parents or?
Yeah, exactly. It was because my dad had like multiple businesses. So then we were moving from country to country. And at some point, my mom was tired and then we settled in Rwanda. So yeah, that's how it went.
Okay, what is something like unique you have picked up from each place you had lived in?
I think Rwanda mainly is the country that I've like really grown up in properly.
How long have you been living there?
Oh, I think like a good 13 years of my life.
So basically the whole childhood was there.
Yeah, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's a country that like always has a special place in my heart because it taught me a lot. And I think it's just respect for earth and respect for resources. Mm-hmm. Like that country has really taught me a lot about that. Also, I think Rwandan people really, I don't want to talk about this in a lot of detail because Rwanda always gets a bad reputation for the genocide that happened in the country. But because that those people carry that pain with them and they always talk about it and like tell and like beg the future generations to not do the same mistakes. I think that's also something special that I really, really admire about the country is that they want to be as peaceful and as clean and as like safe as possible. It's not the best country in the world, but it just certainly feels like home mm-hmm. to me. So that's one thing I can pick up from Rwanda and from South Africa, how to party. South Africa is that place, like anytime, anywhere, people are going to be partying. People are going to have fun. You want to do something spontaneous, go down to the town. It's always like buzz, buzz, buzz. And yeah, it's just a fun place. So I think South Africa was the place that like taught me how to let loose and like just enjoy because I was like, yeah, maybe a little too stuck up.
But did you move to South Africa after the Rwanda or?
No, it's a little confusing with the timeline. Mm-hmm. I did move into Rwanda first and then lived there for a couple of years and then moved to South Africa. And then we went back to Rwanda.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Speaking five languages, mm-hmm. I mean, it's actually very impressive. Do you have any favorite one or do you ever mix them up?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, I can list down the languages that I can speak. Oh, yeah. Like there's more than five, I think. But, well, I had to grow up speaking French, German, because, well, now I'm here, English, then my own native mother tongue, which is Hindi. But then my grandparents speak a different language, which is called Pahari. So like, I also need to know a little bit of that, although it's really, really bad. And then, yeah, that's the fun thing about India is that there's multiple languages. And I think those are the five languages that I can carry with myself. And then Swahili is spoken in like most of the countries in Eastern Africa. So in Rwanda and in South Africa, I was going around speaking Swahili. So that's one of them. And there's multiple others that I have, but I won't mention them because like I cannot remember a word. Yeah, sometimes I get like brain fog and I'm not able to like speak the language that I'm supposed to be speaking in with a person and I'll like say a random word in a language that nobody will know and I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. And I don't even speak that language like properly. So I'm like, where did this come from? And yeah, it's an issue. But what is my favorite language? It either has to be my mother tongue or Swahili because they both have their like similarities. They sound sweeter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I like them.
On what language do you speak with your parents?
Hindi.
Hindi. But yeah. Do they speak English actually? Or
they do.
They do.
Yeah.
Do you know all of these five languages on the native level or
no,
how does it?
No, not at all. I think if we go according to like the German system of A1, A2, B1, B2, like that level, then I think all the languages that I've listed, I know at least up till B2.
Mm-hmm.
B1, B2.
So you actually speak German?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did you attend any courses or?
Yeah. Growing up in Rwanda, that's one of the classes that I took.
In German language?
Yeah. You study German. Like you can choose to study French or you can choose to study German in the school that I was in. And I chose to study German because, yeah, they were giving gummy bears in class and I was like, I want gummy bears.
So you were basically prepared for moving to Germany?
Yeah, basically.
Talking about the Ukraine and choosing Ukraine, how life took a turn. Mm-hmm. What actually led you to Ukraine, to Kharkiv? As far as I know, to study at university.
I think I'm going to butcher the name of the university. It's called Simon Kuznets University. Okay, it's something like that.
Okay. Right?
And it's a really cool university for studying philosophy, law, and economics. So like these three subjects. And it's based in Kharkiv. And the way I found out about this university was through my dad. We were going back and forth about which country I should like go and like study in. And because Corona was like really big at the time, he didn't want me to go to a foreign country because he was just like, what if you get sick and die, you know? And I was like, yeah, that's true, but let's not, you know? And so he was pushing me to do like an online degree or like start online. And then when things calm down, then I go offline. And I was like, no, I want to go. So we compromised and I didn't end up going to the universities I wanted to go, but he chose a university for me. And the reason why he chose Ukraine was because we have family friends over there. So he was like, okay, if something happens to my girl, I know that there's family there to like help her, which was really sweet of my parents to take into account. But little did they know that the war would happen. And like Kharkiv was like one of the first areas to be like hit when the war originally started. And it was like, right now, I think it's one of the places which is like the worst hit with the strikes and bombs and everything. So yeah, I don't know how my university is doing. Last time I checked, it was still standing, so it's still not bombed, but who knows? I haven't looked into it. So that's how I got to Ukraine.
Which program were you studying?
I was studying international economics. So it was still economics. Yeah.
What was the student life
in Ukraine?
In Ukraine. Before things happened.
Yeah, of course. I would say to me, I was a bit scared simply because I didn't know the language well. It's really difficult to study Ukrainian. The alphabet is completely different and the way you pronounce things are like also complicated. So I was nervous that just because I don't know the language, it's going to be difficult for me to like move around freely. But then when I got there, it was weirdly accommodating to English, not so much like you have it in Germany. In Germany, it's very easy to get around if you know only English. Not the ideal condition, but you can still get around. In Ukraine, not so much. But like the thing that I miss about Ukraine is the snow, because it actually snows so. Like, I'm a person who doesn't like winter. I like my sun. I like the beach. I like summer. But I could appreciate the beauty that winter has, especially in like Ukraine. So in Kharkiv, it would like snow a lot. And yes, it was annoying because you have to like move around in snow and it's wet and it's cold and it's like so annoying that you can't go outside. But yeah, I don't know. It was pretty. So I really liked it. Unlike here in Germany where it's just gray and sad and depressing. So yeah, so that's one thing that I really appreciated. And in terms of student life, it was really interesting to see that the Ukrainian students there were much younger than what I would have expected because they start university a lot earlier. So that was like a shock to me. Not very surprising, but it was still surprising that the majority of them were so young. And that's why I think there was a disconnect between international students and Ukrainian students in the university, because the international students were much older than the Ukrainian students.
How old were you?
I think I was like 18, 19.
But it's okay. I think it's a good age. I mean, yeah, Ukrainian students, they're usually 17 because as long as we finish school, we're directly going to the university.
Yeah. But like I was one of the younger international students. Mm-hmm. A lot of the international students there were like 19, 20, 21, like above. And I think it's because of that age disconnect that the two groups didn't like interact much with each other. I had many Ukrainian friends, but I know my other international friends didn't have that. And yeah, there is like quite a bit of racism in Ukraine. I think it was a bit easier for me because I'm not a black person. It is much stronger like to the black people. But another thing that I really liked was just because I didn't live in a dorm. So when I went and just stayed with my friend for a night to see how the dorm life looks like, it's really fun. Like I thought I could never survive in a dorm, but like if the people that you're living with are fun and nice, like that's pretty interesting. So,
but you saw the dorm, right?
I saw
how ugly it is. How bathroom looks like.
No, I didn't see the bathrooms.
Oh.
Yeah. But yeah, the dorms are like not the best situation. Like, that's why I couldn't live in it. But then I could see, like, people finding that fun, I guess.
They just cannot really afford something better.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as I know, like, not many students in Ukraine, they speak English perfectly.
Yeah, that's true. And that's why the people that I was friends with, the Ukrainian people that I was friends with, spoke English or wanted to learn English. So they were like using me as their practice buddy for English. And yeah, it was really nice. I really liked having them around. Also, like, the drinking culture there is like on another level. You start here in Germany with like beers, and you know, if you're feeling very crazy, then you go for a vodka shot. In Ukraine, you start with a vodka shot. And I'm like, what? And yeah, that was crazy to me. But it's fun. Like, I don't know. I had my fun time there. Yes, there was like problems here and there, paperwork and this and that. And that's why like having the family friend there was helpful, because they knew like my language and they knew Ukrainian, so they could like help me. Otherwise, I think it would have been very, very difficult. Yeah, I think I did struggle a little bit with the paperwork, but it was like much easier. Like, it was just a one-time struggle, and then I would get my residence permit, if you want to call it that, that would allow me to stay in Ukraine for the entirety of my study. Whereas in Germany, it's not the same system. You have to renew like every year. So yeah, I find that insane, because I have to go through that stress every other year. So yeah, I would rather just stress one time and then get everything that I need. And that's why I think I really appreciated Ukraine for that. However, like, my only dissatisfaction with the country was that, like, I felt like the course I was enrolled in was way too theoretical for me, and I wasn't enjoying it. And I think that's the case for most of the Ukrainian universities. They're very theoretical in practice. So yeah, I wasn't really satisfied with my course. But other than that, like, it was pretty decent. It was pretty okay.
The war changed everything. How did you make decision to leave, and what was your process of leaving? Because at that time, it was, I guess, very hard, especially from Kharkiv.
Yeah, this is a whole story, and it's going to take like 5 hours if I tell you everything. But very briefly, it was just, I was in immediate contact with the Indian embassy in Ukraine, and they were giving us instructions on what to do and what not to do. They sent us a very scary message. Well, the whole time they were telling us that there's going to be, what is it called? Convoys or aircrafts or some emergency vehicle that is going to come and collect everyone from Kharkiv, like all the Indian people that are there, and like escort them. And I was like, okay, great. We just need to wait here, right? Wrong, because they told us to leave Kharkiv on some random day, because Kharkiv is going to get really badly bombed that day. And I was like, okay, how? Because there is no buses, trains, anything. Like, there is no transportation. And the embassy was basically like, you can walk. And we had to walk, like, I don't know, like 50, 70 kilometers? I don't remember.
Of walking.
Yeah.
Pure walking.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Okay. Because there was no other way to get to, like, the safe camp that they had set. So we did get there, like at night, I think.
How many hours it took?
A day and a half of walking, I think.
With all of your luggage, or you didn't take much?
No, I just packed like what is needed. So a lot of my stuff is still back there in Ukraine, but I don't even know if the apartment survived that I was living in. So yeah, I only took my essentials, whatever I thought was important, packed it in a bag, and I just started walking, because that's all we could do. And yeah, after we reached to the safe base camp, they were like, okay, now you're here, now you're safe. There's going to be buses that are going to like take you to Romania. Originally, I think the plan was Poland, but then like they were just trying to get us out of Ukraine. And then the buses did eventually come. But all of this apparently was not arranged by the Indian embassy. It was arranged by like the adults that were there on ground. So yeah, that's crazy to me. Yeah, we made it. We were in Romania. And then after we got to Romania, there was like an emergency evacuation plane that was leaving from Romania to India. But I didn't have family in the capital of India. So I asked them if I could like go to Africa, like South Africa instead. And then they were like, no, just go to India. And I was like, okay, fine. So then I went, and then I had to take another plane, then back to Rwanda, where my parents.
Yeah. So you came to Rwanda and you have decided, okay, why you want to study in Germany? Like, why exactly Germany?
Yeah. Well, the reason was because I always wanted to study in Germany. It had always been like one of the options that I wanted to go to because I knew the language. I saw how difficult it was for me going into Ukraine where I didn't know the language and like the impact it has. And I was just looking for universities, honestly, that had the course that interested me. So now that I have had this experience of being in a Ukrainian university where I could see on the website of the university, it did say that these courses are very theoretical. Like you read a lot of papers, you do this, you do that. And I was just like, okay, that's not really my thing. So if a university tells me something about like it being more practical and more like focused on a certain subject, then maybe that would be more interesting for me. So I was just looking for universities that did that. And there were quite a few. It wasn't only Germany on the list, like Netherlands was also on the list. The UK was also on the list. US has always been on my mind, but considering that country is so crazy and
it's expensive.
Yeah, and it's so expensive as well that I was just like, yeah, this is not it for me. So I was looking for a healthy balance between a community that's tolerant for international people, where I know the language, where I know that the course is going to be taught in English. So like, it's not going to be a problem for me if I don't know the language, and just something that's more practical based. And Leofana was like basically the perfect fit.
What was first impression after you moved to Germany? You started to live here.
Yeah, I mean, I was really excited. I think it's a weird thing to say, but it smelled similar. Like the smell of Germany, there's this smell that Germany has. So it felt like, oh yes, I know this place. And yeah, I was just honestly excited because I was still like recovering from the whole war situation. So it did take like a toll on me. But then I was just like, okay, we're going to start new. We're going to start fresh. And this is going to like, we're going to do our best. The first semester was like really fun because you do so many different courses that are not relevant for your main studies. But it's just a good way to like see other perspectives, to even see if maybe the course that you're doing is the right thing for you. Because a lot of people were confused in the first semester. And you meet so many different people. Those people I'm still friends with from the first semester, I wouldn't have known them otherwise if I didn't have this opportunity provided by the first semester. So yeah, it was just a nice, like, weird mixture of like, yeah, this feels right, you know? Yeah.
What was the biggest cultural shock when you moved to Germany as a student?
I mean, people ask, like German people also ask me this quite a lot, like what is the biggest cultural shock that you have gotten? And I think I'm numb to them now because I've been moving the countries so much that I'm just like, yeah, countries are going to be different.
I just accept
it. It's just what it is. Like one thing that I still cannot wrap my head around is how they have something called Abendbrot, which is just like evening, the direct translation would be evening bread, but it's dinner that's basically just bread. And I'm like, what? How do you not have a proper good meal, you know? So that's a cultural shock thing, but also for breakfast. And I know it's not only Germany that does this, but like whoever does this is weird. They have, I think it's beef or is it pork?
Matt, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And it's like just mashed up like beef or pork. And then you just like scoop it up and spread it as if it's butter. And I'm like, no, that's meat. Like that's, no, I don't like it. So yeah, like as much as those can be classified as cultural shocks, they're the things that like disgust me the most.
I was denying this meat for so long. But to be honest, if I have meat at home, I will eat it.
No,
I really like
no.
it. With the onion, with the pepper. I feel I'm just integrating here.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say the same thing. You're becoming German. Oh, that's so bad. Never. I will never. Because I like, I am vegetarian, or at least I try to be. And so I'm never gonna like eat that anyways. Another thing, like the biking culture. I knew the Dutch people took themselves seriously, but the biking culture in Germany is insane. And the reason why I didn't really experience it the first time I came here was because I was in the south. And in the south, you have much more terrain and hills and up and downs and stuff like that. So as much as, yeah, you can use your bike to go around, you have trams that take you everywhere.
Here in the north, yeah, people are using their bikes.
And I was like,
but mostly in the small cities, because in Hamburg, true, not that,
yeah,
many people drive.
Yeah, exactly. Because Hamburg is a big city. You don't need
S-Bahn or U-Bahn.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But yeah, here in Lüneburg, everybody is about getting a bike and using a bike and using a bike to get everywhere. And I'm like, I cannot. I will never. Why would I ride a bike? Like, the weather in Germany is good. Like, out of the 365 days in a year, you have 5 days of good days in Germany where, like, the sun is right and, like, the weather and the wind. Don't get me started on the wind, right? So, like, I'm just like, no, I'm going to die if I ride a bike. So I don't do that.
I guess moving to the next topic,
mm-hmm,
just your field of study.
Mm-hmm.
Economics actually is a very broad field.
Yeah.
What excites you the most, mm-hmm, in studying it? Maybe you had already future plans. So just economics, because it's a good major. You can get a good job afterwards.
I don't know about that. Well, like, the thing is, so in high school, I did this program called International Baccalaureate. Mm-hmm. And there I chose economics because I heard that the teacher was going to be nice. Fast forward, the teacher changes and I'm like, shit, I don't want to do this subject anymore. But I was stuck with the choice that I made. And it was the first subject that made sense after math. You know, like, math has always been a subject that has made sense to me. And like, subjects like chemistry, biology, physics, I was just like, what the fuck is this? You know? Like, sure, physics to some extent was okay, but everything else, I was just like studying so I could pass a test, studying so I could pass an exam. Never really interested in it. And then I came across economics, which was something that I'd never studied before in high school in my last 2 years. And it started to make sense. Like, you draw a graph, you see the numbers. Oh, that makes sense. You know? So I was like, oh, I actually, like, really like this. So then I looked into my future study programs and what I could do. And it was either doing mathematics as my degree or economics as my degree. And when I saw mathematics and how intense it is, I was like, no, we're gonna do economics. And so that's what interested me. But I think, like, constantly also with the extracurriculars that I took, I was like very awareness, activeness, like all of that focus. So I think with this, I wanted to do a degree that would give me the knowledge to actually make an impact in the society that I want to see. And the society basically runs on money. So if you understand money, you basically understand society, right? And I want to learn how to influence this exact thing so that people can get the help that they want. So that's basically why I'm doing this course.
What is the biggest challenge of studying economics?
I don't know. I really enjoy it. So I'd never have seen anything as a challenge. Maybe sometimes the motivation to keep on going, because it's so tragic to see what's happening in the world, to see that Germany is also turning a right country, you know, like, seeing the people that are being elected and that they don't want immigrants and they don't want internationals and all of this talk. And when you're just a student here in Germany trying to just study to make a change, you know, so it's just really hard to find the motivation, because the reason why I'm studying is to make a change. But seeing that I'll never have the opportunity to even use my knowledge, that hurts sometimes. So yeah, just trying to keep on going. Also with the winter depression, that's horrible.
If money didn't matter,
mm-hmm,
if you were not studying economics, what other career paths would you consider?
I would consider, yeah, like, for real, I would consider being a mathematician or a statistician, because, yeah, those people are smart. And I would just like to flex my degree. Like, yes, I know mathematics. You don't, you know? Because these people, they basically do everything in this world. They're the ones creating the programs. They're the ones creating these weird graphs. They're the ones running the stock market, you know, that basically is everything this world runs on. You can't live without these people. And they're so cool because they're really smart, right? So I would love to do that degree, or I would like to go into maybe some creative field, which would just be like painting or like ceramics, making bowls and stuff. Yeah, that type of stuff.
I was impressed. Your answer, mathematician, because I would like to work in the zoo with the animals.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's me.
You love reading, painting, and daydreaming. What kind of things inspire your art?
That's a good question. I've professionally studied art in like middle school, high school, all of these years. And I think it's just a good way to let out my feelings and my emotions, because I'm a person who feels very deeply about things. I cry at every single thing. I see an ant carrying a leaf. I'm like, oh my gosh, an ant that's carrying a leaf. Yeah, I cry about that type of stuff. So it gets really overwhelming on a day-to-day basis, and art is the perfect type of outlet for it. Because there's so many good things in life and there's so much to be grateful for. And I like putting that in my art. So that's something that inspires my art a lot. It's just like the good feelings in life. But also just to distract myself from everything that's going on. Whether it's in my personal life or in like the news in general, which is just so, so sad and depressing sometimes. I just need to take my mind off of things and not to think about stuff. So, yeah.
Where do you see yourself in the future? Do you have any plans to stay in Germany or?
Well, I've been thinking about that and talking about that with my friends. The German labor market is a lot more stable than in most countries. But unfortunately for me, I just don't see myself fitting in with the work culture that's here. It's not bad. It just isn't something that isn't for me. And also with this whole country just turning more to the conservative side, it's just very scary. Because the first people that such a political system would try and prioritize is their own, which makes sense, as they should. But that doesn't mean that you should just disregard immigrants and internationals completely. And I feel like if things continue this way, it's just going to be very difficult for international people to like make a living here properly. Considering all the paperwork that we have to go through, I need to make it worth it, you know? So maybe I might continue my master's here, because I do really like the way the German education system is. In like university terms, of course. I don't know how it is for high school programs and stuff like that. But if I select the right program, I know I'm going to have fun. And I think education is as far as I'm going to go with Germany.
All right. Moving to our last part of the podcast. Complete the sentence.
Okay.
The weirdest German habit I've picked up is...
is being nosy. I've always been nosy, but... German people are nosy. Like they want to know what's happening in your house at that hour. You know, they peek in, like they're watering their plants that they've already watered for like the 20 millionth time just to like stay out a little longer to figure out what's happening. And I like that. I'm just like, yes, we should all be in each other's businesses because why not? It's fun, you know? So yeah, being nosy for sure. Being in Germany has accelerated it.
The most awkward language mix-up I've had is...
ooh, it was like Hindi and Ukrainian. The thing is, they sound very similar. No. Yeah, I can't say that. Like some words sound very similar. So then I was just talking to my mom and in the middle of the sentence, I switched into Ukrainian. And it made no sense. And I can't remember what it was, but my mom was just like, huh? And I was like, huh? And we just looked at each other and I just started laughing and she didn't understand why I was laughing. So, yeah.
If I could go on a spontaneous trip right now, I would go to?
Ooh, this is a good question. And if money didn't matter in that regard, then I would love to go to the Maldives. Like somewhere sunny, somewhere beachy.
The best part of being a student in Germany is?
Is... there's like so many benefits to being a student, but I think the best part might be like the free Deutschland ticket. Like we are paying for it in a way, but like it's definitely subsidized for us. And the, what is it called? The cultural semester tickets that you get.
Uh-huh.
That's also nice. So I really like using my student discount.
One German word I love is
Schmetterling. I love Schmetterling. I don't know what it is. It tastes so nice. I have synesthesia, I must say that. Synesthesia is this like weird concept where you can see the colors or you can taste. Yeah, you can see colors of words or you can taste the words. And I don't taste so many words. I just see the colors for a lot of words. But Schmetterling is one which I can taste really, really nicely. And it tastes like honey-dipped petals.
For me, it sounds so rude. I mean, it's just a butterfly. It's just a butterfly. She brings, it brings happiness. I don't know. And Schmetterling.
Yeah, I know. I love it, though. And there's also this other one which is like Anchinchin. Anchinchin. It's supposed to be a squirrel, but I find that word very weird. So yeah, I'm not even going to bring that up. But Schmetterling is my favorite word. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, Shreya, your journey has been full of different turns.
Mm-hmm.
If you could go back and give advice to younger self before moving to Ukraine, maybe, what would you say?
I would say invest in like learning routines about yourself and learning the type of person you are, and never say no to any opportunity, whether it's related to school stuff or hanging out with friends and everything. Just don't say no to those opportunities. Time is very limited. Go have fun.
And that's it for today. Thank you for tuning in. You can find all our episodes on our website at podcast.leufana.de, as well as on Spotify and iTunes. Until next time, take care.